السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama Ikram, most respected brothers and also sisters of the madrasa, we have had some tafsir of the Quran Sharif in the past majlis. We have had some Hadith Sharif explanation in the majlises before that. So tonight we will have a little bit of poetry again. And as I have explained to you on many occasions, that the poetry of the Ahlullah, the people who have got their hearts with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, those who are the friends and the walis of Allah Ta'ala, their poetry is not for entertainment. Although we do get some sort of enjoyment and pleasure, which is natural. A person can get enjoyment and pleasure in salat, he can get enjoyment and pleasure in zikrullah, he can get enjoyment and pleasure in tawaf, he can get in hajj, he can get in umrah, he can get in salat and salam on Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we can see that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has also kept some sort of enjoyment and pleasure in these ibadat. And in fact, not some. There's so much of enjoyment, there's so much of pleasure in it. If the person's niyat is correct and he's doing it for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala gives him also pleasure and happiness. Allah ta'ala gives him also satisfaction, because other people are enjoying a lot of haram. Outwardly we say they are enjoying haram. So you think Allah ta'ala is going to deprive those who are restraining themselves from haram from any kind of pleasure and happiness? In fact, the pleasure and happiness that they enjoy, even the kings of the world do not know about it, because their enjoyment is of a different level altogether. There is no anxiety and restlessness and worries with that pleasure. In sinful acts and actions, for a Muslim and for a believer, he can never ever have total enjoyment. If he has got even a spark of iman in his heart, there can never be total pleasure and happiness in sins. How can they be? Take a Muslim who is a believer in Allah Ta'ala, is a believer in the day of Qiyamah, is a believer in resurrection and day of judgment and akhirat and jannat and jahannam. So now if this person is engaging in adultery or fornication, there can never be total enjoyment and happiness, because he's got that fear that what if Allah Ta'ala has to cause the angel of death to extract my soul in this filthy action of mine. So now that has taken away all the pleasure and happiness. So if he's got that spark of iman, but if he hasn't got that spark of iman and he has given his heart to nafs and shaitan, and he says that just as the world enjoys itself, therefore why should we also be concerned about the akhirat? Who really came back from the grave to inform us what happened there? So then it shows that this person, after, if he is enjoying it, then it is just like the disbelievers. It is jannat for them, they will enjoy it here, but in the akhirat then there's going to be endless problems. So we believe in Allah Ta'ala, we believe in His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have got some sort of love and in our hearts for Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So therefore our enjoyment, total enjoyment, maximum enjoyment, can only be in obedience to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now in that obedience you get so many things which will give you pleasure and happiness. Good food, now the person is enjoying good food, but he's enjoying it in obedience to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so that will give him happiness and satisfaction. The person marries and now he engages in a relationship with his wife, then that will give him total pleasure and happiness, because he's got no fear that what if somebody has to see me, what if somebody has to get to know, what if I have to die in nothing, because this person knows that what he is doing, it is not haram, it is not forbidden by Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In the same way, the person is looking at the beautiful waters of the ocean, the waves of the ocean, is looking at the moon, the sun, the stars, the beautiful gardens, he's enjoying himself in watching all these beautiful scenery, then there's not going to be any kind of fear in his heart, because by looking at those things, he is improving on his iman, he's developing more love for Allah, he is looking at the qudrat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. What I was saying is this, that even we're talking about enjoyment, yes, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has kept enjoyment in all these type of ibadat. So in the same way, if a person gets enjoyment in listening to poetry which is morally sound and which gets a person connected with Allah Ta'ala, creates the love of an ishq of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his heart, then there is nothing wrong with that. But our niyat, our maqsad is not this, that there must be just enjoyment. We take lessons from that poetry, because it is the voice of their hearts. It is the voice of the hearts of the walis of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It is not like any ordinary poet that sits and thinks or writes up some lyrics and then starts singing. It is something that is waridat-e dil. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala puts into their hearts. It is because of the mujahada that they make, because of the tears that they shed before their Allah, because of the du'as that they make in the late part of the night, and because of the taqwa that they have, because of the restraint that they exercise over sins, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala then opens up their hearts. And then that poetry has effects on other hearts too. That is the reason why other poetry can be very sound also, but it doesn't have that kind of impact and effect on hearts as the effect and impact that the poetry of the walis of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has on hearts. As I think I explained in some majlis, I don't know whether it was here or any other majlis. The thing is that when the walis of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, they speak, then the words that come out from their mouths, because it is actually the heart that is speaking, it is the heart that is speaking, the words that are coming out from the mouth, so the noor of their hearts, these words are like in the capsule of noor. And then these words go through our ears, and then from the ears it goes, of course, to the heart. So that noor which came out from their hearts, it is the effect of that noor and that ma'rifat of theirs and that yaqeen of theirs and that tawakkul and their zuhad and their taqwa, in which those words were now, and it was like in the capsule. So that is what now affects the hearts of the listeners. The changes that come about in people is because it is from heart to heart, and that is how it goes into the other heart from those who are walis of Allah Ta'ala. ND520232 Toyota, please remove your car, somebody wants to come out. So therefore tonight we will have some poetry of Arif Billah Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum. And I've said many times that now it is not the voice, it is not the tune, it is not anything else that you must really bother about. Just bother about or think of what the words are and what message there is in that poetry. Daaghe hasrat se dil sajaye hain tab kahin ja ke unko paaye hain. داغِ حسرت سے دل سجائے ہیں تب کہیں جا کے ان کو پائے ہیں ان حسینوں سے دل بچانے میں نے غم بھی بہت اٹھائے ہیں ان حسینوں سے دل بچانے میں نے غم بھی بہت اٹھائے ہیں. Now why did I choose this? You have heard this before, but we are in July. Now I don't know whether the guns have already been fired for the gunston. But one thing I do know, that the malaika of death, or the angel of death, he has already drawn his gun. And we don't know on whom he is going to fire that gun, and where he is going to fire that gun. Then also I do not know whether the horses have already galloped for the July. But what I do know is that we are galloping very fast towards our graves. So this is the month of July, in which we will get all kinds of entertainment in Durban. All kinds of entertainment. Then we also know that the circus normally comes in July. And they make good clowns of us. Those clowns, when they're acting there, they're actually making clowns of us. That we forget that one day we are going to go to our graves. And where are we sitting? What are we looking at? Forget all those stories that we make up. The children wanted to go to the circus, so therefore we took them there to show them the animals. There were days when there was some kind of morality, some kind of decency, some kind of shame and haya, even in the disbelievers. But if you have to look at the circus of today, then I am sure, well, I do not know what do they really show there nowadays, but from the people that have been going and seeing, they say that it is now totally immoral. It is immoral. So now this person who is a Haji Saab, this person who is a Dini worker, this person who is in the Khanqa, in the Majlis of Zikr, this person who is going out in Gush and Talim, this person who is making Umrah upon Umrah, Hajj upon Hajj, he too at that time forgets where he is sitting. When those naked girls are dancing, then at that time he too is staring there in that direction. And when somebody asks him, he says, I took the children to show them the animals. So is that the only place that you could take them to go and show them animals? Who are we bluffing? Who are we fooling? Aren't we behaving like clowns? My brothers, my dear sisters, daaghe hasrat se dil sajaye hain, tab kahin ja ke unko paaye. There will be regret in the heart, and this is a majlis of tawbah. It is a majlis which I repeatedly say is for islah of nafs, myself also included. It's not that we have become stones or we have become iron and steel, that our hearts have become completely barren of any kind of desires. The desires will come up in anybody's heart to go and see those animals and see those areas and see those performances, which may be not immoral, some of them. But then we know that when there's a mixture of immorality and morality, when there's so much of mixture there, when the haram has become dominant factor there, so then we cannot just take that few percent of that which is permissible and say that because there were certain things there which were permissible, that is why I went there. This is our biggest mistake. That we immediately look for just those things which are permissible. What percentage of it is permissible? Therefore I always say, take any mufti of the world who has given fatwa that TV is permissible. So definitely, I mean, it is TV itself is a box, it can't be haram. It's what you see on it that will make it permissible or impermissible. But then there are so many other factors due to which the ulama have declared it haram. So whatever the fatwas may be, but if we have to take an assessment, if we have to make an assessment, if we have to take an x-ray, or if we have to look at the programs that are being shown on TV, those who are watching TV, so can they take qasam and say that the majority of the programs on the television are those that any Muslim is allowed to watch? We all know that 80% of it is filth and haram. Now how can we have such a thing and then say no, but we just keep it just to watch a little bit of news, watch a little bit of soccer, a little bit of cricket. Now this little bit, where it is going to end up? And then what are our children going to watch? Our wives the whole day when they are at home, what are they going to watch? And then what did it create in the society? Did it bring some kind of happiness, some kind of satisfaction, it improved the quality of the life of the people, improved the character of the people, improved the honesty and truthfulness and morality of the people. Did it do anything like that? Or do we also want to end up like that society in which 11-year-old children and 9-year-old children now pull the trigger on their own fathers and mothers, and they throttle their grannies, and they stab their sisters? Do we also want to end up like that? What other culture is it except the TV culture? And those people themselves are admitting all the harmful effects of it. But yet we will find justification. So it's our nafs that wants to enjoy haram. So it finds all kinds of excuses to make it halal. And we will very easily find also some ulama also who will give fatwa because their own nafs is enjoying the haram. So they will give the permissibility. Because in Allah Ta'ala knows the life that the person leads, whether it is private life or public life. So we cannot deceive Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So daaghe hasrat hazar khaye hain, daaghe hasrat se dil sajaye hain, tab kahin jaake unko paaye hain. I have decorated my heart with regrets, then I found Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The decoration of my heart is with regrets. Like how we say the decoration of the skies is with the stars. So like that, these are the stars of our heart. Every time you get a regret, because Shariat says it is haram, and our friends say let's go, our mothers say let's go, our fathers say let's go, our family members say let's go, don't behave like some orthodox stupid fool, enjoy yourself, life is short, then at that time the person says I cannot, because my Allah is displeased with it. So there will be regret. So now that's one star on that heart. Another regret, that let's go to the circus, now the person is restraining himself. The desire is coming very strongly because he has been watching all his life and now he has made tawbah from it. So there will be regret. Person is tempted to go and commit adultery, fornication, because he's been doing it all his life. But now he made tawbah. So now there will be regret. There will be some kind of regret on the heart. The same way everything else that this person was engaging in prior to making his tawbah. So whenever he will see others going towards it, there will be some kind of thought that will come in the mind. Shaitan too will whisper very strongly, what does it matter, one more time again, just go and enjoy yourself and then make tawbah again. These type of thoughts will come. Now the person is decorating his heart, more and more stars are coming on his heart. Then he will get Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Then he will get that sweetness of Iman in his heart. He will get an enjoyment in his heart. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give him such kind of pleasure and happiness which most certainly even the kings do not know of. That's the kind of happiness Allah Ta'ala will give him. Allah will put his love into the hearts of people. Every person's home will be his home. Every person's car will be his car. Every person's food will be his food. Every person's heart will be his heart. Allah Ta'ala will put that kind of love into hearts. Look at our Ahlullah when they come down. Those who are truly Arif Billahs and Ahlullahs. It is a desire of every person, he must sit in my car, he must sit in my car, sit in my car. Every person's desire, he must eat at my home, it has been eat at my home. As one Buzruk said, who was suffering from sugar, when he came down, then somebody said, Hazrat, this mango is very, very sweet and it comes from Cape Town or some place. But this is the best mango of South Africa. Then somebody brought some mitai, he said, this is the best mitai. Then somebody brought something else, he says, this is the best fruit of this place. Now in this way, he said, Hazrat chahe zinda rahe ya mar jahe, lekin aap khush rahe. As long as you stay happy, whether Hazrat dies or lives, it doesn't matter. Give everything to him to eat, as long as you stay happy. Hazrat chahe mare ya zinda rahe. So this daaghe hasrat se dil sajaye, tab kahin ja ke unko paaye. So that is one way of looking at it, that it is stars, stars, stars. And the other way of looking at it is that it is like a stab on the heart. Every time that the person is restraining himself, it's like a deep stab on his heart, and the heart begins to bleed. Again, another desire comes very strongly in the heart. Let's go to the beachfront now and sit between those women that are naked there and watch the gunston or whatever it may be. Then at that time, again, the strong desire comes and this person restrains himself. Again, there's a stab on that heart. So the blood is flowing again. It carries on like that for every time that he restrains himself. There's a deep wound on his heart and it is causing the blood to flow. Now sometimes the blood flows so much that it becomes away like a samandar, like a big ocean sometimes. The walis of Allah Ta'ala, and especially our young boys and girls who have made tawbah from sins, now they still got a long way to go. Just imagine how much of stabs they will be taking on their hearts. You think Allah Ta'ala is not watching that wound that the person is getting on his heart when he's restraining himself? You think Allah Ta'ala is not seeing that this servant of mine, he could have also gone and entertain himself with haram? But the only thing that's restraining him is that I am watching, that his life is in my control. And if I am going to be displeased, then I will punish him in the akhirat and punish him in this world. And if I am going to be pleased, then I will give him the best of both worlds. So now because of this, he allows it to become an ocean of blood. It becomes an ocean of blood.
ये तड़प तड़प के जीना लहू आरज़ू का पीना, ये तड़प तड़प के जीना लहू आरज़ू का पीना, यही मेरा जाम मीना, यही मेरा तूर सीना। ये तड़प तड़प के जीना यही मेरी आरज़ू का पीना, ये तड़प तड़प के जीना लहू आरज़ू का पीना, यही मेरा जाम मीना, यही मेरा तूर सीना। मेरे खून का बहर अहमर जरा देखना संभल कर।
Ha, he says, what? Ye tadap tadap ke jina. The person is living, but it's like how the fish is outside water, and it is flapping around all the time. In the same way, this person who has got a heart, he's also got desires in his heart. But in an environment of sin and vice and evil, he is restraining himself. Lahu arzu ka peena. And he drinks the blood of his desires. He keeps on drinking the blood of his desires. Then what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does to it? But before that he says that yehi mera jaam meena, the drinking of the blood of my desires, he says that is the drink of mine. The drink that gives him enjoyment, that gives him intoxication, that gives him happiness, that gives him joy, that gives him satisfaction, is not the drinking of that alcohol and that wine and that beer. It is the drinking of the blood of his desires. He said, that's my Tur-e-Sina. That's where I find my Allah. As Musa alayhi salatu wasalam went to Tur-e-Sina, he said, my Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, I find when I sacrifice those evil desires that are coming into my heart. That knife was placed on the throat of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam didn't make any movement. He was quite happy and willing because it was the order of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So that was his sacrifice. Now we say that sacrifice was his, so for us there's no such thing. For us, every minute of our life, that knife is there which we have to place on the evil desires and let the blood of our arzu flow. Therefore he says, mere khun ka bahar ahmar zara dekhna sambhal kar. The red sea of my blood you must see. We know about red sea. Say the red sea of my blood. So when we are going to cause the ocean of our blood of desires to flow in our hearts, then that blood is going to bring the ocean of Noor of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala into the hearts. The ocean of Noor will come with that. There will be such a kind of happiness inside those hearts. And wallah, brothers, wallah, all we have to do is just restrain ourselves for a little period of time. And then Allah Ta'ala makes it easy after that. Your mind and your heart just goes off. Sins become more difficult than good deeds after that. Just as at present it is far easier to commit sins, then it becomes easier to do good deeds and very difficult to commit sins. Just take the example of a namazi. I think I gave this example before, but we have every time some new young friends. Take the person who is a namazi 5 times a day. Now this person, if he is told that tonight you must not make your Isha Salat and sleep, and we will give you the wealth of the world. So the person who is a namazi, he just cannot get to sleep. He won't enjoy his sleep. He'll be restless until he hasn't made his Isha Salat. Yet he could not be, or he's probably not even a person of very strong iman, just that he's a namazi. But he will not forego that Salat if he really understands and knows what Salat is. So why is it that it is easier for him to forego the wealth and all the bribe, but he's not going to forego that Salat? Because as I was, in fact, that wallah and qasam that I was taking was on the same thing. That takes, I mean, I'm just an ordinary insignificant one, but like that many others like me, all of you inshallah, that even if a person says that I will give you all the oil wealth of the world, all the gold and silver and everything that this world contains, but just do one thing, don't make Isha Salat and Fajr Salat, purposely just forgo it. Wallah, in the masjid I can take billion qasams and say that I will kick that bribe offer, and I will say I'll make my Isha Salat and I'll make my Fajr Salat, because it is far more precious and valuable to me than all the wealth of the world. Now what is it that makes that person say that? So just as we get into the habit of Salat, we get to know the value of Salat, then we can say that. In the same way, it becomes easy to do the other ibadat and the other things also and restrain ourselves from haram, because the person has made a little bit of effort, he has practiced a little, then it becomes easy to do it. So that is what is required. And the most important thing, and I keep on repeating is this is that stay away from the areas of temptation. Unnecessarily don't go to those areas of temptation. Why go to those areas of temptation when you know that there is a peak period, it is holiday season, and we know that it is just going to be an area where we are also going to be tempted then to see that which is haram. If you have to go for work, for business, to meet someone, well and good, you go there, control your gaze as much as possible and get away from there. And when it's quiet time and you can get a quiet place and area, then go and watch the ocean. But if we are going to go purposely to such places, then we will get caught up. So the newspapers, the magazines, the radio, the TV and all these things, they will only invite us. You can see it was World Cup, then it's this cup, then it's that cup, then it's this race, then it's that dance, then it's this show, then it's that. It's just nothing but entertainment. Shaitan wants us to be get caught in this web, and that person just has to get caught in one web and the noor of his heart is gone. After that he says, my namaz, there's no enjoyment, my zikr, there's no enjoyment, I'm feeling down, I'm feeling restless, I'm feeling depressed. Now, everything will happen. And they themselves afterwards again will write and say that after I made sincere tawbah and I made istighfar and I made some salatul hajat and I did this and did that, again I started feeling better. So it shows that there is effect. So why go to the darkness when you can stay in light? So avoid reading those columns, otherwise we'll get tempted, and then it will bring restlessness in lives. It will bring so much of restlessness that the person will think it's better to commit suicide than to live on this earth. It's happening. Young girls want to slash their wrists. They want to slit their throats. an overdose of tablets. I think it has become like unlimited now. There are so many cases. Parents also are not even aware that the daughter took so much of tablets at night and went to sleep. And that's why she got up in the morning, 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock. Or the sons have taken that. Parents are also not aware. And what is the major cause of it? Illicit love relationships. So what happiness has it brought? Therefore, daag-e hasrat hazar khaye hain, tab kahin ja ke unko paaye hain. You have to keep on taking this. And especially now, as I said, it is the time of, it is the season of fun and pleasure and entertainment. So at such a time, family should, within the parameters of Sharia, organize kind of functions or parties or entertainment where our young children, our daughters, our youth can be occupied within the parameters of Sharia. There too we should not exceed the limits and don't have free intermingling and enjoyment, that whether they're cousins, brother-in-laws, sister-in-laws, they can engage in any kind of activities. It should not be that also. Talking about having proper separation, whether it's ghair mahram, mahram, or not entertaining each other. But like that, there is a need for it. How long are we going to tell them just stay in the masjid and read tasbih? Or that you must go out in the jamaat and spend all your time in the jamaat? It's not going to be possible. There will be much of spare time they are going to use some way or the other. There are conferences, there are seminars, and there are camps. But everything will be for 3 days, 4 days, 10 days. After that, what? So we have to build up this iman in their hearts that wherever the person is, he changes the environment doesn't change him. In haseeno se dil bachane mein maine gham bhi bahut uthaye. We have to take that pain on our hearts. That regret, that sorrow, that grief, that pain, it will come. Without that, we just cannot get connected with Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And what is the haseen? It's not only that pretty face. Different people's haseen is different things. One person, he has given his heart to beautiful faces, and that's why his night and day is spent in nothing else but visualizing that pretty face and all the time indulging in sins or associating with that illicit love of his. Now that is also one. But besides that, there are so many others who have got different kinds of haseens and haseenas. Some people it is the casino. That person is not interested in any pretty face. He is only interested in that machine there. Because he has read in the paper that there are many millionaires that have been produced. There's a production machine, produces millionaires. But just that sometimes it jerks and sometimes it doesn't. You think those millionaires are really produced there? How much the person has lost, he's not going to even talk about. And that is the attraction, that is shaitani temptation. That they will talk about the 5 or 10 that may have won millions. But what about the millions who lost millions? How many millions have already lost millions that they won't talk about? Because then you are not going to go there. So some people it is the casino. Some people it is something else. Every person has got different things. Some people it is just their planning of fraud. They join syndicates for what? For fraud. Now that's their night and day. They're not interested in pretty faces. They're interested in how much we can scheme out of people without making any effort. We sit and control the syndicate goes and robs, and then we sit and collect the revenue. So that is their hasina. So now all these people who are involved in different kinds of sins, they have to take this regret on their hearts. In haseeno se dil bachane mein maine gham bhi bahut uthaye. Now that person restrains himself. No matter how much the pressure on him to go towards it, but he says, no, my Allah is displeased with it. If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is displeased, then I'm not going to go anywhere near it. Barbaade muhabbat ko na barbaad karenge, mere dil-e-nashad ko wo shad karenge. Once we are going to make barbad of our dil, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not going to destroy it any further. He is now going to give us happiness in that heart. It is a very strange system of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that you break your heart and Allah ta'ala gives you happiness in that broken heart. Allah ta'ala doesn't come in those hearts which do not want to have any kind of pain coming on it. Allah ta'ala comes in those broken hearts. The poor person, he is broken hearted. Therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is with them. Provided he is poor, but he is also obedient to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The rich person also, because he's got plenty of wealth, now there's a lot of temptation where he can use his wealth in wrong places, but he breaks his heart and he doesn't use it in the wrong place. He restrains himself from haram. So now again it's a broken heart, so Allah Ta'ala is with him, not because he is rich, but because he has broken his heart. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that is his system. Very strange. So it is not a difficult thing. Of course, in everything there is a little bit of effort that is required, but it is not impossible. But at present, as I say, that unfortunately we are being invited left, right and center, so much so that even Muslim organizations, even Muslim institutions, if they also want to raise funds for their projects, then they will engage or they will do certain things which will definitely be un-Islamic, totally un-Islamic, against Sharia, against Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's will. Now they want to do khidmat of deen by displeasing Allah ta'ala. Now can it ever work? Then we say there's no barakat in our institutions. What are we going to cry over? Oont re oont teri konsi kalsi di. O camel, which part of your body is straight? Which dent are we going to talk about? You think Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will become pleased? Allah will say you did a wonderful thing. Then if that is the case, organize a nice dance in some city hall and you will collect much more money. And especially to say that where will the money then come from if we don't have this? That is definitely a tragedy. It is a weakness of our iman. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not in need of haram funds for the progress of his deen. Allah is not in need of it. Allah will create halal means. Allah will put it into hearts and they will come and give it themselves, if only we have yaqeen in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. I should not be mentioning these things, that many brothers may not know of it. Therefore let me say it now, that when this masjid was being built, or the extensions was being made, at that time I made it very clear to every trustee that neither am I going to go to anybody's shop with a book to say that you must contribute, and nor must you go to anybody's shop or anybody's house, because you may have big boards in outside, but inside the person is in problems. From the outside you see the person has got a massive supermarket, but we do not know in what massive problem he is, because of his bond and overdrafts and all other kinds of things. Therefore we should not go there and ask that person, because if he is going to see us, he'll look at our face and make the contribution. He's not making it for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and then he will be forced to contribute more than what he would have liked to contribute. He was in a position to give 100 rands, but because he's going to see Maulana Sahab coming, so now he says, well, I have to give 10,000 rands. So only the 100 rand there was permissible, and the balance of it was not permissible. It was extraction by indirect means. So there will be no barakat. So they couldn't believe that in these days we can find 2 million plus without really going to doors or canvassing for funds and asking. They said, we will write on the board here and we will announce from here, whoever wants to give must come and give it here. I clearly recall that there was a time when the payment had to be made to the contractors of some 250,000 rands within 2 or 3 days, or the very next day, I'm not too certain. So I made dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala because there was a pressure now, that where do we find the money? We have to go, and there are potential donors. If you're going to take the book and go to them, they will write. I said, no, we are not going to go. We'll make dua, Allah will send it, inshallah. The masjid was already under construction, and there was a brother who came here from Pakistan. Now, always we have got this impression that people come from Pakistan to take money from South Africa. Now, this brother came here and he attended the zikr program that night we had Thursday night. After the zikr program, he says that, well, I want to speak to you, and can I contribute for this? He said, of course you can contribute. There's our treasurer standing that side, you can give it to him. He said, no, I'll give you a check. So another person made a check and he folded it, and I took it and gave it to the treasurer. So he gave 50,000 rands. Now imagine, the person comes from Pakistan and he contributes here 50,000 rands. Then the next day in the morning, a person brought one guest. He says, this person is from Reunion Islands, and he has heard your tapes and is very impressed, and is this and is that, and what can he contribute for your madrasa? I said, no, alhamdulillah, the madrasa at this stage we've got sufficient, but if he wishes to, then the masjid, they require some funds. He must go and give it whatever he wants. So that person gave 50,000 rands. Then in the evening, a person said that, Maulana, I want to give you some money for this masjid, but I want to give it to you, to hand it over. I said, no, you give it directly. He said, no, I want to give it to you. So there was 111,111 rand in that packet. Now you tell me, where did all this come from? Did I go and beg? Did I extend my hands? Did I go fall at their feet? Did I go to their doors? Did I tap at their windows? Nothing. So who sent it? It is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that sent it. So why should we chase after that which is haram? Why should we extract with pressure and force? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, His deen is not in need of us. We are in need of His deen. So therefore, if you want to make khidmat of His deen, then make it within the usools of Sharia. Now, if we are going to put up a big TV there to show football, World Cup, so that we don't lose customers in our fair, then are we helping the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or are we assisting in the destruction of the deen of Allah ta'ala? We must ask ourselves that question. That with that niyat, if we are going to put it on, that if we're not going to have it there, people are going to run away to the hotels, and they're going to run away to their homes, and they'll be watching it on TV there. So we rather provide it for them here. So what I'm saying is that it's just words, words and words. There's a lot of talk about deen, but the haqiqat and the reality is not there. Why should we then complain that we are not getting the desired results? There's always quarrels, disputes, arguments, sometimes between the principal and the staff, sometimes the staff amongst themselves, sometimes the pupils and the staff. There's nothing, no happiness, there is no progress. And no matter how much effort we make on those children, but they're still going to the cinemas, and they're still taking drugs, and they're still going here and there. We have to look at it also. How are we providing? Where are the funds coming from? If the root we are not going to take care of, then we will be facing problems with the branches and with the fruit. Allah Ta'ala's khazana and treasures are unlimited. It's unlimited. If only I can build up that yaqeen in your hearts, that Allah Ta'ala's treasures are unlimited, so don't despair of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's mercy and kindness. Beg of Him. Allah Ta'ala will find the means. Allah Ta'ala will create the means. Allah Ta'ala will put into hearts. They will come and give it to you. You won't have to chase after it. So whatever mistakes people have made, we must not hold them now on those mistakes. It is for everyone. It is not just for any particular organization. It is for everyone that mistakes can be made, but then we must not justify those mistakes. And now don't say, how can Maulana say things like that, and start getting angry over it. What we should say, yes, we made a mistake. Alhamdulillah, now we heard. In future, inshallah, we will stay away from such kind of things. So Allah Ta'ala himself will also become very pleased if the person says, well, I learned from the person's mistake. And it's not just one or two organizations. We know what is happening. So many different organizations. I'm not talking about Natal only. I'm talking about the world, international. For the Bosnian refugees, they had Bosnian girls. They just went through the war. But those same Bosnian girls went to America to dance on the stage, to collect funds to assist the refugees of Bosnia. Now will Allah Ta'ala become pleased with such a thing? May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us hidayat. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the understanding. There are so much things that we could have said, and this poetry, we didn't even go past one couplet, still one stanza. But if we have in this majlis learned to place our trust in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, to make use of the means, but provided those means are pleasing to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala will create such avenues. There's so much of experiences, and these things are not being said bragging. Before, I never used to reveal it, but now I reveal it and I say a lot of things. Allah Ta'ala is making me say it because we do not know whose islah is being made with it. If any kind of pride has to come into my heart, then that will be the destruction of my life. But I want to say it, and I'm saying lots of things now because the response that I'm getting and the feedback and the different people who write that, Maulana, that incident which you mentioned, it strengthened my iman. That incident which you mentioned, I made my resolve not to go back to that haram again. That incident that you mentioned, it did this, it did that. There's so many letters. So then I say that why should I then hold back if somebody else can benefit from it? So all those who are thinking of building madrasas and masjids and khanqahs and whatever, markas, etc. So then this is the lesson that they must take, that don't let influential people go to those business houses and go and ask for donations. Because if the influential person is going to go there, then that person is going to give, looking at the face of that influential person. And I know of people who have given large amounts of monies, and then within a week or two they went bankrupt. That means they knew that they are in deep trouble. But to keep that prestige, they still kept giving large amounts. Now whose money did they give as donations? They should have said clearly that, look, I've got a 200,000 rand bond, or I've got a 500,000 rand or 1 million, 2 million overdraft. So I want to wipe that out. Therefore, at this stage, I can give you 100 rand. But then what would people say, that such a big mota and is giving so small money? So now to keep that, the person gives big money. But then he takes big number of people for a ride. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us understanding. May Allah Ta'ala open up our hearts. May Allah Ta'ala fill our hearts with hidayat. May He make us see His khazanas. If only Allah has to open those khazanas and we see it, then we won't have iman bil ghaib. Now how do you draw from the khazana of Allah Ta'ala? Connect your heart with Allah Ta'ala. Obey Him. We know that there will be still mistakes. We may not be perfect. And then cry, shed a few tears, and see how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala opens the doors. He opens the doors. There will be some test trial, but Allah Ta'ala will finally make this person get his needs. So the lesson is this, that place your tawakkul and trust in Allah Ta'ala. Stay away from those haram places. Take the pain on the heart. Let there be stab wounds. Every time you restrain yourself, the stab that comes on the heart, take it. But then that will not create heart attacks. Physical heart, at the most, the person dies and ends up in the qabristan. But here this person, if his spiritual heart, the more the damage on that heart, the more stronger it becomes, the more powerful it becomes. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then becomes his eyes with which he sees. Allah ta'ala becomes his ears with which he hears. Allah ta'ala becomes his tongue with which he speaks. In other words, he speaks that which is then pleasing to Allah ta'ala. He sees that which is pleasing to Allah ta'ala. And in his heart he finds sukoon, peace and happiness. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless us all with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat, and safeguard us from going to those areas where we may be tempted into committing sins and haram, especially in these days which we term as the holidays. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin mubarik wa sallim. Allahumma rabbana zalamna anfusana wa in lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين. ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما. Oh Allah, forgive our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Oh Allah, we are extremely weak servants of yours. Oh Allah, assist us and help us. Oh my beloved Allah, protect us and safeguard us from all kinds of haram temptations. Ya Allah, we easily follow our nafs and shaitan. Ya Allah, safeguard us from those places where your lanat and your curse descends. Ya Allah, provide for us from your unlimited treasures. Ya Allah, don't let us go towards anything that is displeasing to you. Give us such a bond with you and with Rasul-e-Pak, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that nafs and shaitan cannot distance us from you. Oh my beloved Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Those who are sick and ailing, give them cure. Those who are in financial difficulties and problems, provide for them sufficiently, O Lord, to get over their difficulties. Those who have got disobedient children, make their children obedient to the parents, obedient to you. Make them the coolness of the eyes of the parents. O Allah, those who are suffering from depression, give them happiness and joy. Those who are looking for marriage partners, bless them with good marriage partners. Ay Allah, fulfill the needs and the desires which are in accordance with Sharia of each and every Muslim in the world. Ay Allah, assist and help the Mujahideen of Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, India. Ay Allah, unki tu madad aur nusrat farma. Ay Allah, unki tu madad aur nusrat farma. Tere farishton ke zariye se unki madad farma. Ay Allah, either give hidayat to the enemies of Islam or destroy them like you destroyed the Aad and Samud. Ay Allah, ya to unko hidayat de, ya Aad aur Samud ki tarike se unko halak aur barbaad farma. Ay Allah, dunya aur akhirat ki bhalaiyon se hame mala mal farma. Oh Allah, don't let our death be in a disco, in a cinema, in a theater, in a casino, in front of some filthy television program. Oh Allah, don't let our death be in any haram place. Ya Allah, when the angel of death visits us, let him visit us in a state that you are pleased with us. Madina Tayyiba ke andar shahadat ki maut naseeb farma. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله